Happy December. We are in the last month of this year. And it is a wonderful season for us to celebrate Christ coming into this world. As a local church, we too want to rejoice with the birth of Christ when the whole world remembers. We don't want to be left alone, but we want to rejoice along with those who want to share the birth of Lord Jesus Christ with everyone. With that thought process, prayerfully we considered a start of a new series in this month of December. And may the Lord enable us to learn wonderful things from His Word, and especially through this name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. We are going to meditate upon this name of Jesus. And for that, may the Lord enable us to look at a few scriptural portions before we dive into this particular sermon series, Jesus, name above all names. Not few names, but all names, name above all names. We will read from two scriptural portions, one from the book of Matthew and the other from Philippians. You can fill in the blanks as we read this portion from Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 all together, please. Shall we all read this? And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Those are the two scriptural portions for our series that we want to learn and understand as to what this wonderful name of Jesus is. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us in this first Sunday of the month of December 2017. As we meditate on the importance and the power of your name, we pray, Lord, that you may speak to us through your living word. Not my words, but let your words come through me, Lord, that it may bring edification to each one of us, Lord, that we may go out of this place with a renewed heart, and that we may leave this place with joy and peace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Names are important. Name brands. People want to put on, forget about their name, but they put different brand names. People's names also, their last names, full names sometimes. Big brands, you know, big letters, bold letters. Whether it is apparel or bags or shoes or whatever be it, wherever there is a symbol, there is a name that brings a recognition for what you are doing or what you are wearing. It signifies something about who you are as well as to what you wear and what you do and what kind of things that you are doing, including your own personal name. Be it brand names or even people's names, celebrity names. Those are all a significance that is brought forth in the various names. Somebody mentioned this and I just wanted to share with you. What's in a name? There was a funny story that is talked about Mr. and Mrs. Levi. They had two sons. They were brothers, of course. One brother was named Mind Your Own Business. And the other brother was named Trouble. Mind Your Own Business and Trouble. These are the two names. One day, the two brothers were playing hide and seek in the street, and it was Trouble's turn to hide. While Mind Your Own Business was counting to 100, 1, 2, he was going all the way to 100. Trouble ran down the street and hid inside a thick hedge. Somewhere he tried to hide. Then Mind Your Own Business started looking for his brother. He looked behind some trees. He looked inside some cars parked in the street. And he even looked under the cars. But he couldn't find his brother. When Mind Your Own Business started to look inside garbage bins, a policeman saw him doing this and came over to have a word with him. The policeman said, "And what, may I ask, are you doing, little boy?" And the boy replied, "Playing a game." The policeman then asked, "What's your name?" And the boy replied, "Mind your own business." The policeman got angry and said loudly, "Are you looking for trouble?" And the boy replied, "Yes." With that, the policeman put the boy in his police car and said, "Time to have a talk with your parents." Name makes a difference in the way in which people use it. And certain names have meanings. Most of the main names have meanings as well. Name has an identity. Name has an authority. Name has a recognition. During this series, we are going to meditate on this name, the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, there were two people, two disciples of Jesus, Peter and John. They were arrested for proclaiming the risen Christ. Verse 2, it says, they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And they were brought forth to the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, in verse 6. And verse 7, notice this carefully, Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. When they had placed them, meaning Peter and John, in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" By what power or in what name have you done this? They wanted to know with what authority or with what name they are doing this. They wanted to know the name, not more than what is their intention or anything like that. Their purpose was to know by what authority or power or name they have been doing this. And we notice in verse 10, they answered that. They were very clear. "Let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in a good health." It is the name by which things were happening. There was an authority that was given to them, and it was because of the name. Sometimes, when you want some help, and you are not able to, and the person whom you wanted to get help from, if that person is not able to join with you to help you, you know what they'll say? "You can go to so-and-so person and tell my name. Just tell my name." Why? There is so much of power, so much of aspects that you can learn from the name itself. Just tell my name. Just tell my name. Once you tell my name, then the other person would take care of the things and help you out. Just the name has so much of significance. And this name, verse 10, they said, "By the name of Jesus Christ." They didn't stop there, my dear. They didn't stop there saying why this person or how this person got healed. They didn't tell their own name. It says, "My name, I have done this. Who is it?" No. They use the name of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Notice verse 12, important verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men that we must be saved." There is no other name. The name of Jesus is above all names. And only by the name of Jesus Christ can a person be saved. Remember that. And that is why in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, when the angel spoke to Joseph, the angel specifically said that Mary shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Jesus or Joshua, or Joshua, the Hebrew word Joshua, in Greek it's called Jesus. Jesus. By which we can be saved. Maybe I've shared with you before, initial days when I came to this country. I happened to, by then I think I had the car or I was sitting in someone else's car, at the drive-thru at McDonald's. We placed the order and we had to do the payment. And the moment I saw the person to whom I had to give the cash, that person had a name tag, Jesus. I tell you, for a moment, I never seen a person or heard about a person by name Jesus. Most of the time, people have Yesu Padam, Yesu, you know, different, but not Jesus itself. The moment I saw, I don't know, I forgot about what I had to do. I started thinking, who am I? Am I talking to Jesus here? But in Spanish, I think the name Jesus or Jesus is very common. Recently, my son, he was doing a team work. Two people had to work together. So he said that he's doing his project. And I asked him, who is your partner? And he said, Jesus, Jesus. I was surprised again. Though it's been so many years, still I'm still surprised. Or, you know, I feel so much so when I try to meet somebody by name Jesus. And finally, even at my workplace, I got an email from Jesus. One of the colleagues' name is Jesus now. So I keep getting emails from Jesus. Oh, I tell you, the name Jesus really makes me wonder as to, because it is so powerful name that I cannot imagine any human person other than the only one who can save me from my sins, that is Jesus Christ. Today, we want to meditate on that name of Jesus. A lot of people use the name of Jesus in vain. They don't use any other God's names when they are in trouble. They use the name of Jesus. Don't know why, don't ask me why. But it is not good to use it in vain. The Bible says, you shall not use my name in vain. Book of Exodus chapter 20. So we have to be cautious whenever we think of the name Jesus or use or utter the name of Jesus, that it is used properly enough. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. People don't use any other name. Maybe they know that there is power in that name of Jesus, but they're using it or misusing it. There are songs, hymns that are written, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. The name of Jesus. There are many, many songs that were written in the name of, well, talking about the name of Jesus. Even during worship time, I heard people singing some songs related to the name of Jesus. Yeshu Naam, Yeshu Naam. His name is a wonderful name, my dear. And that name, especially during this Christmas season, I want to share with you. I want to talk about one specific one in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Please read verse 24, one of us, aloud, please. John 16, 24. Any other language? Verse 24. In my name, not only salvation is because of the name of Jesus, but even when you pray, when you communicate to God the Father, you use the name of Jesus. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Just like you say, okay, tell my name and that person will help you. We need to reach up to the Father in the name of Jesus. So here, Jesus is saying, ask in my name. Even in verse 26, you will ask in my name. There is a name of Jesus. Why? Because if you ask in his name, your joy may be full. We are going to study on the acronym of Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Five letters. Today, we are going to look at the first letter, that is joy. In the name of Jesus, when you pray, the Bible says in verse 24, your joy may be made full. The name of Jesus Christ results in joy, my dear. The name of Jesus Christ results in joy. And we are going to meditate on this word joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I don't know if it is clear enough on, yeah, on the screen it is written. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Isaac Watts, in 1719 AD, he wrote this hymn, Joy to the World. His intention was not for Christmas alone. His intention was to focus on a psalm, Psalm 98. Psalm 98, he was meditating on that particular psalm, which talks about the past, present, and future. If you look at Psalm 98 quickly, I'm not going to go deep into that psalm, maybe as part of the psalm series that we are having during worship, we might deal more with it. But Psalm 98, there are 9 verses. The first 3 verses talks about how Israel is praising God for saving them in the past. He has made known, he has gained victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation and all that. And then in verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. He says, in the past, he has come to save the people. In verse 4, it talks about the king. 4, 5, and 6 talks about the present praise. Verse 1 and 3, praise because of the past. 4, 5, and 6 is praise because of the present king. Shout joyfully before the king. Before the king, the Lord. And then 7, 8, 9 talks about the coming of the Lord. The future. If you sing that song, if you focus the words of that song, Joy to the World, though it is sung during Christmas season more often than ever or never other times, it talks about the past, present, and future. And even 7, 8, 9, it talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to judge the whole earth. And when he talks about the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about the way in which he will judge the world with righteousness and the people. As we sing that song, we will understand that joy to the world has come, not only for the sake of Christmas alone, but to be able to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ as well. With that said, let us look at certain aspects about joy that we can learn because of Jesus. Joy because of Jesus. Some of us have names, joy. Whether it is male or female, it's a neutral word. People have their names. Different variations of the name joy as well. There is a person whose name is Joy Singh. Joy Singh, that's his name. So I had to talk about him. There was his birthday. So I was using his word so quickly enough, Joy Singh. Joy Singh, as if it was a rejoicing. I mean, if he had a brother, probably they would have named him Rejoicing. So Joy Singh, and that variations when I was telling joy, rejoice, these are all the variations. The first thing that we can learn about joy is great joy. Great joy. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. The birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Because he is the Savior, because of the name of Jesus, who will save his people from their sins, it will bring you great joy. Not just a simple joy. Some of the translations uses the word exceeding joy. And that is what we should see. The word joy, the Greek word, kairo, it means an inner gladness, a deep pleasure which comes from an inner assurance and confidence that God does all things for his purposes. God does all things for his purposes. Inner gladness, not external. A deep pleasure that comes within, the inner assurance and confidence. That is what joy has nothing to do with external things. But it is all internal, the joy. So here, the angels brought this good news, saying, I bring you good news of great joy. Because of Jesus, there is great joy, my dear. He wants to bring great joy in our lives. No matter what situations we may be going through in our life. Verse 10, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He wants to bring you great joy. Message of Christmas is not just joy, it is great joy. the angels have brought forth. And Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men, the magi, they were coming from the east, arrived in Jerusalem. They were searching for who this child is, who is born the king. And they saw the star. Verse 10, notice this carefully. What does it say? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. Please read. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Rejoice, joy. Completely, there is something that has happened in their lives that their search, their quest has ended. Your search ends here. The buck stops here, some people say, right? What is that? Enough, enough of your searching. Your search has stopped now. Why? They have seen the star of Jesus. The Jesus whom they are going to meet. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy again. I bring you good news of great joy, angels said. That great joy has resulted in these people also experiencing that joy. The magi also, the wise men also rejoiced. The wise men rejoiced. And that is what we see here, that we were able to notice that the birth of Jesus Christ has brought forth great joy. It is not just the birth of Jesus Christ, my dear, that brings great joy. Christmas, yes, it brings great joy. But the name of Jesus is not just for Christmas. The name of Jesus will help you throughout your life. Not only the birth of Jesus, life of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his second coming. Everything should bring great joy to us. When Jesus rose again from the dead, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8. Please read 28:8. Yes. What did they do? These women, they came and they saw that there was an empty grave. They were filled with great joy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also brought great joy. The birth of Jesus Christ has brought great joy. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because he has saved us from our sins. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And when he died for us on the cross, he rose again from the dead to show forth his divinity. And that brought forth great joy. Luke chapter 24, verse 52. Luke chapter 24, verse 52. Please read. Now Jesus was ascended. And when he was blessing them in verse 50, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He was blessing them. He parted away and carried up in heaven. Verse 52. And they, after worshipping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The ascension of Jesus Christ gave them the hope that he's going to come back. The second coming of Lord Jesus Christ is bound to happen. When that happens, now while they're on this earth, what are they doing? They're worshipping him and returning to Jerusalem with great joy. If you read the book of Acts, it talks about the great joy that they were filled throughout their life. In spite of the sufferings that they went through, they were having great joy. That great joy comes because of Jesus. Not because of the circumstances. Not because of the happenings in your life. In spite of the fact that you don't have anything also, you can be joyful, my dear. That is the greatness about joy. And Jesus wants to give you that joy. That joy God wants you to experience when others are coming to Christ as well. In third letter of John, chapter 1 and verse 4, there's a wonderful statement. It says, I have no greater joy than this, that my children are walking in the truth. What are you joyful about? Because of their studies? That they are doing well in their studies? Is that the thing that is causing you joy? Most of the parents are like that. But let me tell you, my dear, the greatest joy that you can have about your children is when they come to know Christ as their personal Savior. You may be sending your children to schools for them to learn the things of this world. You may be sending your children to Sunday school that they may learn the things of God. But there will come a point of time when they will say that I want to walk in the truth. That day, let me tell you, that day, if you are a believer in Christ, there is no greater joy than this, that my children are walking in the truth. Have you been praying for your children's salvation experience? How about your own salvation? Do you have that experience of salvation? God wants to have that great joy. The good news of Jesus, secondly, that we can see here is not only great joy, but grief to joy. Grief to joy. We may be going through grief in our lives. You know what grief means? Pain, suffering, sorrow, many things. God wants to give you the joy from the grief that you are going through. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, please read. It says, Yes. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not be grieved, it says in some translations. Grief to joy. Do not be sorrowful. Maybe you're sitting here going through some sorrow in your life. Some pain is happening in your life. It may be an emotional pain. It may be a physical pain. It may be a situation that there are relationship problems. Whatever is the kind of pain you may be going through right now. Uncertainty of your future. Whatever is happening, may I tell you from the word of God, do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you go through sorrow, if you keep on brooding over the sorrow, you'll become weak. You will become weak in your talk because you might end up talking things that you're not supposed to talk. You might become angry because of the sorrow that is happening in your lives. You may give a reason saying that I'm going through sorrow, that's why I'm talking like this. There's no excuse for it, my dear. Maybe that weakness is being projected out because of the sorrow that you may be going through right now. Let me share with you, my dear. Do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yesterday I was talking to someone who was going through tough times in their lives. And the kind of situations they were going through. That person was sharing this one verse. Didn't refer to that verse, but I want to share that verse. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. Verse 5. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You may be weeping. You may be weeping in your heart of hearts. Maybe externally you never wept in front of people, but in your heart of hearts there's a lot of weeping that is going on. Lot of cry. Lord, why is it happening in my life like this? Why is my family going through such kind of situations? Why is my personal life going through such kind of situations? Maybe there's so much of weeping. Maybe your bed is getting wet because of your weeping and crying about things. Maybe it is about yourself. Maybe it is about your family. It is about your extended family. Whatever may be going on, may I share with you? Because last night when I was sharing with that person was saying, yes, I can experience joy of the Lord now. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God wants to give. He wants to translate that grief to joy in your lives. My dear, you may sow in tears, but you'll reap in joy. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. You may be sowing right now in tears. You may be investing so much in your life, saying, Lord, there's so much of struggle that I'm going through in my life. But let me tell you, you will reap benefits of joy in your lives. Jesus wants you to have the joy in your lives. God wants you to have that. One more verse related to grief to joy. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. I want to read it and listen to this very carefully. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. Listen to this. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy. You have come to this local church, Zion. The ransomed of the Lord will come to Zion And it says towards the end, they will find gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Where there is joy, there cannot be sorrow. Either joy or sorrow. And you and I need to experience the joy of the Lord. Thirdly, that we want to learn is two things. First, great joy, grief to joy. But there is something about this joy that you and I should be able to learn, and that is joy of salvation. Joy of salvation. The birth of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus itself is salvation. And God wants you to have the joy of salvation in your lives. Not just experience of salvation, but also the joy of salvation. When Mary heard that news that she was going to conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, let's look at it. Luke chapter 1 talks about what happened, about the fact that when she heard that she was going to have a baby, verse 46, this is the song of Mary. It's also called Magnificat. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Verse 47, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." She was quoting a song that was sung in the Old Testament by another woman, and her name is Hannah. In that also, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." There is a joy of salvation that you and I can get because of Jesus. There is a joy of salvation that God wants to give you and I. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to experience salvation in her life. Just because she's the mother of Jesus doesn't mean that she's God. She's a human being. She needed a Savior. That's why she was able to say, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." The rejoicing happens because of the salvation experience. Today I want to ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ? Saved from the sins that we have been committing. Maybe we have been trying to cover up our sins so much so, but God wants you to remind that He has come into this world to save you from your sins. He wants to not only save you from your sins, but also give you the joy of salvation. For those of us who have experienced salvation, maybe we are not experiencing the joy of salvation. Have you been experiencing the joy of salvation? Maybe you're telling, "I have salvation," but maybe we are joyful about the things that are happening in our lives. The worldly things are bringing us joy more than the salvation. Maybe it's a time for us to question ourselves. Where is our joy in? What are we joyful about? Have you ever thought about having joy of salvation? The joy of salvation. Are you joyful because Jesus has saved you? Are you joyful when you worship the Lord? Do you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm joyful, Lord, for giving me another day in my life because you are my Savior"? Are you joyful, or are you morose and suddenly you hear about some worldly thing that has happened in your life? You express your joy like anything. Are you experiencing joy because of the worldly things, or are you experiencing joy because of Jesus? Maybe the Lord wants to remind us to examine ourselves, to see if there is something that is causing our joy of salvation being robbed. It could be a sin in our lives, some kind of a sin that is blocking us from experiencing joy of salvation. David experienced that. His life was exposed in the Bible. His sin was exposed in the Bible. Maybe our sins are not getting exposed, but David's sin was exposed, my dear. What if our sins are exposed? What will we do? David in chapter 51, Psalm 51 verse 12. Psalm chapter 51 verse 12. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Not salvation, but the joy of salvation. Jesus wants to give you the joy. Maybe you're not experiencing the joy. You may be telling, "Oh, 5 years ago, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior." But where is the joy? Where is joy? I can't see the joy in you. Because you are so much so involved in the things of this world that you are unable to experience the joy of salvation. Let me tell you, if you have had the experience of salvation, it needs to be able to result in joy because that's a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The second one is joy. The fruit of the Spirit of God working in you should result in joy. You may be saying, "Whoa, brother, I'm so joyful in my heart of hearts externally. I'll be as morose, as dull, as serious as possible." I don't know how it is possible. Maybe some people, maybe. I'm not here to judge anyone. But if you have the joy in your hearts, most of the time for that matter, it can be expressed externally. We become so much involved in the things of this world that we are unable to experience the joy. Today, as part of this series on this name of Jesus, He wants to give you the joy. Joy for those who haven't experienced salvation, and joy those who have experienced salvation but unable to experience that because of something that is happening in their lives. Something that is preventing them to have the joy of salvation. So today, I want to share with you that each one of us, no matter whether you are saved or unsaved, those who are unsaved, come to Jesus Christ, you will experience joy. And for those who are saved, come to Jesus Christ with a repentful heart, saying, "Lord, all this while I was thinking of the things of this world that will bring me joy, even though I claim myself to be a believer in Christ. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come and humble myself, asking for forgiveness of my sins." If that is your prayer, God wants to restore unto you the joy of salvation. So that is the joy of salvation, my dear. The joy of salvation has nothing to do with the things of this world. Again, I want to repeat. It has nothing to do with the things of this world. Habakkuk was a man who shared two verses towards the end of this book that he wrote, Habakkuk. It's hard to find. Still, I'll give you a few minutes, few seconds for you to open it. Or if you want to listen to this carefully. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Three verses, actually. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, 19. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." I think we'll stop there. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The joy is not because of the things of this world in verse 17. Though I may not have a job, though I may not have received the immigration status, though I may be going through financial situations, though I may be going through family problems, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The joy is because of salvation, my dear. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. God will take care of the things of this world. You take care of the things that mattered unto God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That salvation experience will result in great joy. In the book of Acts chapter 16, it talks about the jailer. And when he was told that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and house, your household will be saved, there was a great joy in his house. And he greatly invited everyone to come and have meal with him. Such is the kind of experience. And Philip and Eunuch's story in the book of Acts chapter 8, it talks about how Philip, he baptized Eunuch having got a confirmation that he believed in Lord Jesus Christ. The moment he came out of the water, the eunuch went back to his place rejoicing in his heart. Rejoicing in his heart happens because of Jesus in your lives. Joy of salvation. And next one is the joy of scriptures. The joy of scriptures. Joy of salvation, joy of scripture. Psalm 119, 162. Please read. Psalm 119, 162. "I rejoice at thy word." Yes. "As one that findeth great treasure," in other words. "I rejoice at your word." Do you rejoice at the word of God? When was the last time you rejoiced at the word of God? I want our wonderful word of God. When you wake up in the morning, I want to meditate on the word of God. I want to be able to have insights in God's word. Do you rejoice in the word of God? Not just appreciate in it, but to rejoice, having that joy of the scriptures that are given unto you. My dear, in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16, just to be able to refer to some scriptural portions that will enable us to learn some important elements. 15, verse 16, it says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and delight of my heart. And I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them." In other words, I have meditated upon your word. "And your words became for me a joy and delight of my heart." It's an inside experience. Through the scriptures, not only your salvation experience is bringing you joy, but through the word of God that you're meditating on it on a regular basis, maybe personal meditation, maybe through sermons, through the songs that are scripture-based, that may be helping you to have a joy and delight of your heart. May the Lord enable us to have the joy of the scriptures. Jesus wants to give you that joy of the scriptures that you and I need to have. The next pair is the fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy, the Bible says. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and 11, it says, "In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, his presence is there," the Bible says. Jesus Christ himself said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them." When he is in the midst of us, in his presence, in his name, there is joy. Not a little joy, but fullness of joy. Not a little joy, not partial joy, but fullness of joy that Jesus wants to give you and I. In his name, there is fullness of joy. We read the earlier portion from John chapter 16, when Jesus said, "You may ask in my name that your joy may be full." John 16:24, it says, "Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." Full, fullness of joy. And that will happen in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, there is fullness of joy. Don't you want to have that fullness of joy, my dear? He wants to give you the fullness of joy. Not a partial joy. The great joy, the grief to joy. The joy of salvation, the joy of scriptures, fullness of joy. And finally, that we can learn about joy is that he wants to give joy forever. Joy forever. What is this joy forever? In the book of Philippians, we have meditated recently on the Bible study. There are many, many scriptural portions talking about rejoicing. Paul went through tough times. He was in a prison. Yet he was able to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." What does he say? "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always, my dear. Which includes even the current situation you may be going through right now. He will turn the grief into joy. But right now, in the situation that you are in, rejoice in the Lord always. When Paul was tied in chains, he said, "I rejoice. You too rejoice." Rejoicing in the Lord makes a difference in our lives. The perspective is changed when you rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord to the extent of being able to trust in his word. To say, "Lord, it is you who is giving me the joy." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16. The same Paul, he mentions in another place, he says, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. It is not only certain times in your life, but rejoice in the Lord always. That is why every day you need to rejoice. Not just certain times. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Very well quoted verse in many of the wedding cards. Psalm 118 verse 24. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But when do we do that? Occasionally. We do it occasionally. What is it that we do occasionally? Because of the things of this world that is causing us to rejoice more than. I'm not saying that you should not quote that verse. Please don't mistake me on that. Because that day is also a day to rejoice. But every day should be a day to rejoice. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Did you know that this joy is not just on earth, but you'll experience joy forever? Forever joy? You know, there's a store called Forever 21, as if you'll be 21 forever. But at the same time, wonderfully, if you see that, on the bottom of that, every packet of Forever 21, they quote John 3:16. Because it is not about physically, but you will have forever eternal life. That is John chapter 3 and verse 16. So what we notice here is that God wants to give us forever joy. That forever joy you will experience even in heaven. Luke chapter 15, when I was meditating on Luke chapter 15, it talks about three incidents. The lost sheep, the lost silver coin, and the lost son. In all these three, there is something that is mentioned. That the lost was found. And when the lost was found, that person rejoices. And in verse 6, he says, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, notice this very carefully. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. We don't notice that small phrase. There is joy in heaven, remember that. This joy that Jesus wants to give you is not short-lived. You'll continue to experience joy forever in heaven. Because there is joy in heaven. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then you see in verse 10, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy in heaven. That is what I want to share with you. There is joy in heaven. Because of Jesus, wherever Jesus is, there is joy. And Jesus is in heaven. When Jesus is in heaven, we will have joy there also. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Let us rejoice and be glad. That is the songs that they are singing in heaven. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Let us not focus our attention on the things of this world. Let me tell you. Being joyful is a testimony. If you are sorrowful of the things of this world, and you are joyful because of the things of this world, it is happiness, my dear. There is no difference between you and an unbeliever. When they have things, they are happy. When they are not having things, they are unhappy. We also, when we have things, we are happy. When we don't have things, we are unhappy. What is the difference? They should see a difference in your life, saying, in spite of the things that you are unhappy, there is something that is keeping you joyful. They should see you and say, there is something about you. That in spite of the situations that you are going through, yet I see something different in you. What is that? That will become an opportunity for you to share the gospel of Jesus. The joy of Jesus should make a difference in your life, my dear. Do you want to have the joy? The joy that can never be taken away. The joy that can never be robbed from us because of Jesus. And that joy he wants to give you and I. Do you have that experience of joy? Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for us. And he was so joyful to lay down his life for us as well. As we take part in the Lord's table, I want to remind us that one verse from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we have been meditating on this particular portion quite a while. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, fixing our eyes or looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. Jesus Christ has gone through sufferings for you and I, for the joy that is set before him. That joy that is set before him. That is why in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 it says, Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. Because Jesus humbled himself even to the being obedient to the death on the cross. Here, notice this verse 2. For the joy set before him endured the cross. Can it be your life and my life? For the joy that is set before you, endure the sufferings that are happening in your life right now. Learn from Jesus. For the joy that is set before you. And the joy comes not because of anything other than what Christ has done for us. We shall call his name Jesus, for he'll save us from our sins. And that joy of salvation may be given unto us. Just as a recap of what we have learned. The great joy, the grief to joy. The joy of salvation, the joy of scriptures. And another pair is fullness of joy and forever joy. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us examine ourselves, my dear brother and sister. Maybe you have been celebrating Christmas year after year. Maybe it's become a tradition in our lives to celebrate Christmas. Maybe we are focusing on the things of this world to be joyful. There's a song which says, happiness is not the money you have, nor the car, nor the gold, nor the dress you wear, but happiness is in loving Jesus every day. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops fall. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is not about anything else. Real joy is because of Jesus in your heart. Is Jesus in your heart? Have you received Jesus as your personal savior? Prabhu Yesu Christ ni sontha rakshakuniga angikarinchadaniki enduku venagi tirutunavu? Why are you hesitating to receive Christ into your heart? You will experience joy, my dear. That joy is inexpressible, unspeakable gift that he gives us is joy. Wonderful first letter of the name of Jesus that represents joy. He wants to give you and I that joy. But if there are certain things in our lives that are preventing us from having the joy of salvation, let us examine ourselves, correct ourselves, and take part in the Lord's table that is set before us.